Well, thank you very much. It is good to be here for this occasion. I want to congratulate the graduates. And I thank God for Ambassador Baptist College. I think it's one of the greatest Christian colleges in the world. Say amen right there. And I'm in agreement with the direction it's going. And thank God for this great school. And wasn't that a good meal tonight? Now, I didn't eat much, I'll have to admit. I did pick around and part of the salad. I wanted to get and preach. I didn't want to have to take a nap and lay and rest before after I eat a meal. I wanted to preach. And I didn't eat much. Remind me of I heard about a preacher. He went into a visit with a family before a service and a revival. And he just picked around. He said, I kept saying, I don't eat much before I preach. I don't eat much. And he didn't eat hardly anything. And he went and preached that night. And he struck out royally. And as the family went home that night, one of the young kids said, Mama, the preacher should have ate. So I should have ate maybe after the service tonight. But anyway, just you don't have to turn to it. You know it. 2 Timothy 4, first verse and part of the second verse. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this privilege of being here at this great school tonight, behind this great pulpit. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done on these grounds. Now, Lord, I want to be a blessing and a help and a challenge, especially to these graduates and to everyone here. So, Lord, anoint me. Bless this service. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'll help me to say something to encourage these young graduates as they go out to serve the Lord and have a ministry in the future owned and blessed of God. Bless me now and help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, about 3 weeks ago, Dr. Comfort held a revival over at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and he relayed a request from Dr. Bill that I speak tonight on my 46-year pastorate at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and the blessings and the benefits of an extended ministry. I don't know what all you want me to preach on, but I'm going to give something along that line. Really, it's going to be more of a testimony of what God is able to do in my life and in our church over the years. A few years ago, I read where Baptist preachers stay in the average church 2.5 years. That's the average stay of the Baptist preachers. And the Methodist, not much better. Their average Methodist preacher stays only 3 years. And as he held a copy of that book up, Jesus Led Me All the Way, that I wrote concerning the history of the 31st pastor just took over. And I have written a book about the history of those Buffalo Ridge Baptist, by the way, the oldest church in the state of Tennessee. Organized in 1779. A question often asked me, Preacher Lashley, are you the founder of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? And I always say, well, if I was, I'd be in heaven right now. And Apostle Paul said, which is far better. But when I was thinking about the average, this message and the average stay of a Baptist preacher in a church, I thought, well, I'm going to do a study right quick of all the pastors in that book that I wrote about. And I found some interesting facts. Only 7 of the 30 pastors in the 230-plus year history of our church served over 5 years. Only 7. And 2 served over 40 years. The second pastor served 42 years from 1785 to 1826. That was more before most of you were born, I guess. And then I had the privilege of serving 46 years from 1963 2009. Brother Jody was born 15 years after I got to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the pastor of the church now. And only 5 in the history of our church, 230-year history, only 5 served pastorates from 6 to 20 years. And 13 of the pastors, 13 of them, served less than 2 years each pastorate. And one dear pastor had all he could take of those feuding Baptists, and threw in the towel in the 1890s after he'd been there only 6 months. So he just couldn't take the pressure. Now back to my 46 years at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and some lessons from my extended ministry. Now, I wanted to help you, especially you graduates, everyone tonight, as you go out to serve the Lord. And it's really my testimony of the goodness of God to this one of his unworthy servants. And I want to give him the glory. Now, 46 years is a long time to be anywhere. I want you to know that the 46 years it passed off just seemed like yesterday. You may have heard about a man who went to see his doctor, and he wasn't feeling too well, and the doctor gave him a thorough physical examination. And when he finished the examination, he said, "I have some bad news to tell you. You have an incurable disease, and it's the fast-moving kind, and you only have 6 months to live." And he was shocked when he heard that. And he said, "Well, Doc, do you have any advice for me?" He said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Sit down." And he said, "First, marry you a widow with 6 children or 8 children. And then buy you a farm with about 800 to 1,000 hogs. And then third, pastor a Baptist church." And he said, "Well, Doc, why do you give me that kind of advice?" He said, "That will be the fastest 6 months you ever lived in your life." So these 46 years it's been a privilege to serve the Lord and the great people of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And they did pass off quickly. But the Lord has been good to me. And one thing is that to have the assurance, Brother Bill, he used me a little. And as you get on up years to know the Lord, look back over your life and see the Lord used you just a little bit for his glory. And I'm thankful for that. The Lord's taught me a few simple things, and I'm a simple preacher anyway. And the Lord didn't call me to preach to his giraffes. He called me to preach to his sheep. So I want to help you as you leave this great institution and go out and serve the Lord. I want to be a help to you. Now, I'm assuming tonight that you've been born again, you graduates. I'm preaching to the graduates, but it's for everybody too, though. First of all, you're born again. I mean, you got to get born again if you're going to ever serve God. And then have the call of God on your life. Those things are so important. I ran track in college, and we had, I don't know where they still, I hadn't been to track meet in years. Do they still have starting blocks? They do? Well, I hadn't been to one. We had two starting blocks. You'd get in there, and I'd run the 100 and another, but you'd get in there, and as soon as the bell of the gun would go off, you'd launch right out of those two starting blocks. And so a born-again experience and the call of God are two starting blocks necessary before you can even begin to serve God and have a ministry in full-time Christian work. Now, let me give you 7 things after we assume those born again experience of the call of God. There's 7 things I found essential in my 46-year ministry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, I could mention Sunday school campaigns. We had all kind of special days and Sunday school campaigns and bus ministry and church financial programs and good org. I can mention all of those. Those are methods. You can get a book and get those. But there are some things I'm going to mention tonight are all important. Those are important. Now, don't get me wrong. Those are important. But I want to give you some things that will bring the blessing of God on your ministry. Now, programs and all that's good, but you got to have the blessing of God, the touch of God. And that's what you need. First of all, is a divine call. I believe God calls a man to be a preacher. Then, I believe the Lord calls a man to a woman. This lady, if I don't overlook you tonight, I'm not trying to do it, but I'm telling about my testimony of my church as a preacher, and it applies to you. But I believe that the Lord then gives calls a man to a specific church or to start a church in a certain location. And I'm convinced in my soul that the Lord God of heaven called me to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in 1963. And I was serving in Youth for Christ up in Illinois and had a great ministry, but I started feeling like that that the Lord wanted me in a Baptist local church situation in a Baptist church. And so Buffalo, I preached a trial sermon or two at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and they called, voted to call me. And I was up in, before I left Illinois, I was up in the woods out by a creek. I'll never forget it. After they called me to pastor Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I didn't want to go down to Tennessee unless the Lord was leading me. I didn't want to do it. And they'd already called me. And I had to feel that God was calling me to that church. And I went out and in the woods by a creek, walked up and down by a creek, and I prayed and said, Lord, I want to know that you're leading me to that church. And I started singing The Unclouded Day. And when I started singing The Unclouded Day, I felt peace come over my soul. That's where the Lord wanted me to go. Then, this is so important, graduates, this is so important too. You need to feel called. I mean, feel called to a certain place. Wait on God till you feel that call. And then right before I left Illinois to come to Tennessee, I went out again in the woods behind our apartment, and I had the assurance that the Lord was leading me to Tennessee, but there was a hunger in my heart that the presence and blessing of God would rest upon my service for Him down in Tennessee. And so I went out in the woods again. I like to get in the woods and pray. I don't know what it is, something about getting in the woods alone, shutting everything out, and getting alone with God. But anyway, I was praying, and the Lord impressed me to turn to Exodus, the 33rd chapter, where Moses had the same struggle. He didn't want to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land unless the Lord went with him. And let me pick up at 33, verse 14. And God said, He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he, Moses, said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not a hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou, young people, in thou goest with us? So shall we. And by the way, you are separated when God's on you from the world. And I and thy people from all the people upon the face. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now the Lord used that passage there and that struggle with Moses and God over the presence of God going with him. And I said, I took that verse there that Moses said, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry up not up hence. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go down to Tennessee if you're not going with me. I want your presence to go with me. And young people, I'm here to testify tonight that the Lord promised me. I felt peace in my heart that I begged the Lord for His presence. Oh, we need the presence of the Lord. Personality, education, plans, programs, all that's good. But nothing beats the presence, wonderful presence of the Lord in your life and in your ministry. And the Lord assured me when I said, Lord, I don't want to go down to Tennessee unless your presence goes with me. And every now and then, for 46 years, I want to testify for the glory of God. Every now and then, the Lord reminded me that He's kept His promise. There you say, preacher, you feel the presence of the Lord? No, not all the time. I wish I did. But every now and then, I felt the wonderful presence of the Lord in my ministry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I believe the call of God. Young people, wait on God before you launch out into a ministry somewhere till God's called you and till you have assurance in your heart that the presence of God is going to go with you. I think that we can talk about programs, talk about all of this and that, but you need the presence of God. Then the second thing, I'm giving you a testimony. This is a testimony. They're simple, but it's a testimony of why I was able to stay in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and enjoy, experience the blessing of God over the years. A second thing is a love for God's Word. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, and I'm not talking about an intellectual knowledge of God's Word. I'm talking about a heartfelt experience of meeting God in His Word. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Young people, fall in love with this old King James Version. Fall in love with it. I say sometimes to my people, you ought to love this old book so much that every now and then you want to just put a little salt and pepper on it and take a big bite of it. And you ought to. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me next to my salvation was back when I was 15 years old. And my Sunday school teacher, Miss Lovelady, challenged her Sunday school class to read the Bible through in 1 year. And in the grace of God, I accepted that challenge. She said, if you'll read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, you can read the Bible through in less than a year. And I don't know how many teens in my Sunday school class accepted that challenge. But young people, I want you to know, I did. And to the glory of God, for 63 years of my life, from the 8:15 on, I've read, hallelujah, I've read this old Bible through. That's not much. That's not much. That's not much to brag about. But I'm thankful that God, I guess the reason he called me to preach, he saw old Gene love the word. I'm just going to call him to preach it. And so I'm no great scholar. And I'm no great preacher. I don't intend to impress you to be any of that. But I found out a long time ago, if I'd go to bed early, get up early every morning, and read and meditate and pour my soul over the Word of God, that I found out the Lord would bless my life, and my ministry, and my home. So you need to do that. You need to listen to this preacher. And, you know, God has promised in His Word that if you'll just spend time in the Word, not just in some intellect, running and doing intellectual gymnastics through the Word of God, or try to find sermons. But listen, I promise you, if you'll get yourself in the Word of God every day, God's promised to bless you. Psalm 1:1-3. I sign that every Bible, Psalm 1:1-3. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. First of all, he says, you'll be blessed if you come out of the Word. Separate yourself. But there's got to be positive in input there in your life. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, how many of you believe God means what he says? Now, here's what he says. He said, if you separate yourself from the world, go out and out for God, away from sin, and the world, and delight yourself in the law of the Lord and meditate on this old book day and night. Here's what he says. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, how many believe God's able to keep that promise? If you'll separate yourself from the world and evil and delight yourself in the Word of God every day, God is able to bless you. He's promised that you'll have fruit and that whatever you do will prosper. If you want to prosper. Preacher, lastly, why has God blessed your life and ministry? Now, to the glory of God, I want to say for 63 long years, I've got up early every morning and I got along with God in His Word. And you know, He's blessed me all of these, hallelujah. He's blessed me all of these 63 years. And listen, it won't take you over 30 or 40 to 45 minutes to do that every day. Now, sometimes the Lord speaks to me and I get blessed. Have to get out and pray a little bit and all that. And sometimes I'll spend an hour or two. But 30 to 45 minutes, you can read the Word of God through. And if you do it every day, you can read it easy in 1 year. And listen, you will be a success. I'll guarantee you'll be a success in God's work if you love God's Word and read it and meditate upon it. the rest of your days on this earth. God promises he will. And you, if you neglect a daily diet of God's word, I'll guarantee you, you won't make it in the ministry. You can put it in your pipe. The old timers used to say, put it in your pipe and smoke it. You won't make it. Now, third thing. Let me look at my time. I've still got about 30 minutes done. But the third thing I've learned, if you're going to be a man of God, or young ladies, if you're going to be a handmaiden of the Lord, you need a prayer life. James 5:15 says, effectual fervent, not dead cold prayer, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call, not whisper. If you call unto me, I will answer thee. I'm not just saying loud prayer. I'm talking about fervent, really heart, putting your heart into prayer. Call on me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that I know it's not. Now, I grew up around the old time religion, and I grew up around people who knew how to pray and get a hold of God. I'm glad. My Uncle Will was a lay preacher over in Southeast Tennessee. And one day he told me, he was walking down the road in Saudi, Tennessee toward the river to pray. And he said, as I was going down there close to a hill there, a lady, Mrs. Bell, Ann Bell, I believe is her name, she ran out with her little child in her arm, and she said, Will, pray, my baby's dying. And Uncle Will dropped that down on his knees and started praying for that little child. He prayed and prayed and prayed that God would touch that child. And Uncle Will said, when I got up off my knees, the little child was playing around there. Now, testimonies like that, and that I believe the Bible teaches that God's a prayer hearing, a prayer answering God. But one, listen, I was around praying people, and the Bible does teach that God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. But one of the greatest things, now you listen to me right here. You're going to have some problems in the future getting these churches. I'll guarantee you that's a guarantee right there. I don't want to discourage you, but I want to help you right here. One of the greatest things that the Lord did for me in the 46 years I spent at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church was to teach me how to pray. You know how he did it? He didn't get me to memorize in prayer verses. That's good. It's good. I recommend it. But he didn't get me to doing that. He didn't teach me how to pray doing that. And I didn't attend a study course on prayer or read a book on prayer. And I've read books on prayer that's been a blessing. I've heard messages on prayer. But all that's good. But here's how the Lord taught me to pray. He sent trouble. He allowed trouble to come in my life. And when my back was to the wall, and I had no one to turn to, I looked up to God. And young people, I was in that church 46 years, and somehow, in all the trials and trouble and tribulation, and I don't want to discourage you, but there, you don't have to quit and run. Stick your tail between your legs like a whipped dog and run. You can pray. And when I had absolutely no one to turn to, I looked up to the Lord God of heaven. Somehow, some way, he brought me through every time. Hallelujah. As the old lady said, hold my baby while I shout here. You don't know what that shouting is, do you? But now, when the first couple of years I was at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, right after I came there, we had nothing but growth and nothing but blessing. And somebody got saved about every, it's wonderful when somebody gets saved about every Sunday or get right with God. Read that together, the life of the Lord, something. And we outgrew our building, and we voted to relocate and to build a new building on a new location. And I'm here to tell you, that's when the fur started flying. That's when the trouble started. Now, nobody told me at Bob Jones University, or I went out in seminary in Texas, that you don't relocate the oldest church in the state of Tennessee. And some of them didn't want to leave the old church. And we didn't own the graveyard behind the church. Some didn't want to leave the old graveyard. My life was threatened twice. And they shot into the roof of my house, and they sent the volunteer fire department. One night at midnight, here I looked out my window, and my wife, and there was two or three fire engines outside of my house. I went down that that fire chief said, "Preacher, you must have some enemies around here." And they got a petition up, circulated it to not move to the new church, the opposition, and most of them were in members that I hadn't even seen. And they were going to run me off and run the song leader off. And then, listen to this now, get this. I don't know, I'll just quit. You pull me on the coat when you want to be through here. And I'll just say amen, we'll go home. But after we built the church, now listen, now young people, I don't discourage you, but you better learn to pray. You better learn to pray. After we'd already built that church now, the opposition put it in the newspaper, we were going to vote next Sunday over where to go up to the church or not. And that Sunday morning, they were supposed to, I tried to get the John City Press editor to not put it in the paper. He said, "I can't get mixed up in a church squabble." So I only had the Lord to help me out then. And on Sunday morning, all the deacons met at our house. We were right by the old church then. My home was. It belonged to them. And we got on our knees, our deacons. I'd never seen some of them weep. I was weeping with them. And I thought my ministry was over. And I had a wife and two little children. And I thought, how am I going to take, if they run me off, how am I going to take care of my wife and my children? My back was to the wall. I didn't know what to do. But you know what? The Lord had me just where he wanted me. He was fixing to teach me a lesson that I needed for my rest of my 46 years there at Buffalo Ridge Baptist. He wanted to show a young preacher that there was a God. Listen, young preacher. There's a God in heaven that can help you. And he can take care. And he can take care of your mistakes, stupid mistakes. I'm glad of that. Aren't you? He can, like a farmer out in the field, when he comes up to stump, he didn't plow through it. He plows around and keeps. That's the way of the Lord. He has a lot of ways he can help you. And so, I about forgot where I was now. But anyway, it came time. We met right before Sunday school. Then, right before Sunday school, I said, "Man, you go over and get the." They were scared as I was. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know whether the church was going to blow up, going to be fighting all over the church grounds and everything and all. And I said, "You all go over and get the church Sunday school started. And I'll go over on the lake 2 or 3 miles away and pray." And so I went over below the boom down there on Holston River, and during Sunday school, and I prayed. And I couldn't get peace, but right before I thought Sunday school, I got to go and start that service and go and face all that crowd. It's going to run me off and vote not to go up to that new church. I said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me, Lord. You're going to have to speak to me through your word and some verse that will speak to my heart. Lord, speak to me." And he turned to, showed me Isaiah 43. Listen to this. Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Then listen to this. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." And I was going through the waters. "And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire," I was going through the fire, "thou shalt not be burned." The Lord is assuring me in my heart, a young preacher scared to death. You say, "Were you scared?" Yes, I was. I didn't know what to do. And the Lord wanted me to pray and let him somehow help me through it. "And neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." I closed my Bible, got in my car and went over there. I didn't know what the Lord was going to do, but I knew somehow he was going to help me. And so, Let me get back to my notes here. I got back to the church, and during the song service, an elderly gentleman came up and was going to take over. And I said, "Brother, when I'm through today, you can have it." He said, "Okay," and went back and sat down. The Lord just had him to do that. If he had taken over service, we'd have had pandemonium, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And then I got up and preached on the lame man at the gate beautiful in Acts 3. And when I gave the invitation, Four adults came forward to get right. If I'd have been sitting there that day, I wouldn't have come forward moan and preach. But then I stood up and I said, folks, the lawyer for the construction company, the bonding company, three brothers, and bonding construction insurance company, talked to me last night over the phone. And he said that any action we'd take today would be null and void. He said, you have a legal obligation to move up to that church where you pay for the church, whether you move up there or not. And I said, so therefore, there'll not be a business meeting this Sunday morning or the next or the next. And then one of the deacons went over and stood with a piano player and to guard her from keeping them jumping. One went over and stood with the organist, and all the rest of the deacons got around me and led me out of the church. And somehow the opposition was done. Didn't know what to do. And then the battle is over. But a sequence of that story is when we got outside of the church that morning, I broke loose my deacons. One of our men was standing over there, and I went over and I said, brother, how you doing today? He gave me a sheep-eating grin and said, fine. And listen, about 2 or 3 years ago, I found out that man told somebody that he took a knife to knife Preacher Lashley that night. So the Lord somehow wouldn't let him. And then one Sunday, he left the church, and then a few months he came back. One Sunday morning, he came forward and knelt at the mourner's bench. And I went down, put my arm around him. We wept as he got back right with God. And the people knew I didn't hold any hard feelings toward him, and they asked me to preach his funeral when he died. So I'm glad that when I was just a young preacher starting out in the ministry, not much older than some of you preachers, young preachers here in this graduating class, the Lord brought a crisis experience into my life to teach me we can pray and we can get a hold of God, and somehow, some way, God will see you through it. And a preacher or a Christian worker will fail in the ministry only, listen to me, you will fail only if you fail to pray. And any successes that I've had at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in these 46 years are the result of spending time in prayer. All of my failures at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church are the result of failure to pray. And I haven't prayed near as much as I should have prayed over the years. But I know this, when a crisis came, I got on my knees. A lot of times I'd be on my face before God. And I want to report this morning, somehow, some way, the Lord helped this old boy through every problem and trial that I faced for 46 years. So, I don't know when to start. I'm just about ready to stop, though, brother. Don't pull my coat yet. But so, first of all, I'm giving you some. You need the blessing of God on your ministry. I have programs and plans and promotions. We'll discuss that later. You need, the heart of this thing is the blessing of God. And a specific call. Don't take a church to get you feel God is leading you there. And then don't move until you've gone before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to go there without you go with me. And get the assurance the presence of God will be with you. And that's one of the first reasons for the blessings upon my ministry for 46 years. Then the second was the love for God's Word. Getting up 3:30, 4 o'clock early every morning, 46 long years at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I got up there, and that's another reason, getting in the Word, Brother Bill. And before God, and my soul feasting on the Word of God, letting God speak to me. Preacher, does God speak to you every morning? No, but I just keep reading anyway. But every now and then he does. And then the third, develop a prayer life. And I'm not a great preacher or a great theologian, but I found out that God would bless my feeble efforts if I would but pray and spend time poring over the pages of God's precious Word. Now, my time's gone. Let me just mention three or four more things, just and I'll be through. I'm not going to even talk about them. First, the next thing, You need Holy Ghost common sense in the church. Every man of God I know doing much for God has a bucket full of common sense. And I pray for divine wisdom. Then next thing is a holy life. God says in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And now, when I first went to Buffalo Ridge, went over to ordination service at Fordtown Baptist Church, the old preacher got up and he told the preacher, young preacher is ordained, he said, "Two things you need to watch. Or you ruin your ministry." He said, "Keep your hands off the women and keep your hands off the money." And the Lord spoke to me as a young preacher and said, "Gene, that's for you too." For all these years, I'm glad I can say, by the grace of God, listen, you can't commit adultery if you keep your hands off of women. That's the great, deep statement, isn't it? That's the truth. And so, I led the financial program Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church from $15,000 to over $1 million. I never touched any of the money. I made somebody else count it, made somebody else give reports, made somebody else write the checks, and I led it. And when I left there, they gave us a good report on 46 years of the finances, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, let me give you, then another thing, let me give you a couple more lessons here, and then we'll be through. I've already mentioned this, trials and tribulations will come to you along the way. And as I look back, it wasn't big crowds or big offerings or big altar results. We had a lot of those. But that wasn't what increased my faith in God, made me more like Jesus. No, it was when my life was threatened or when the doctor called me up and said, "Reverend Lashley, I hate to tell you, but you got prostate cancer." Oh, listen, I found out that Jesus was an ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. And I hate to tell you this, God will never use any preacher until he puts him through the fire. If you don't have some preacher, if you don't have some tribulations and trials, you won't be worth shooting at sunrise. Unless you go through some trials and prove that God is able to help us. Remember, God's burning the dross out of your life when trouble comes. Don't give up. Don't quit. He's wanting to make you more like Jesus. And then let me mean one other thing. We need a love for the souls of men. Love for the souls of men. And every soul that you preach to is going to live somewhere forever. You know, ask God to give you a broken where you can weep over souls. Where you can weep. I rarely ever weep in a church service at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church over all these years that I didn't see somebody get saved or somebody come forward and rededicate their life and get right with God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Now, where did it all start? When I was saved and I was 13 years old, I started feeling called of God to preach, to be a preacher between my junior and senior years of high school. But I was, you wouldn't believe it, I was just shy and bashful that I just didn't think I could ever do it. I was captain of the football team, hated to give a book report, wouldn't even ask a girl for a date. The boys would get me a date, come by and pick me up and pick her up. And I'd sit over on this side of the car. She'd sit over there and the twain would never meet, Mason-Dixon line down between us. I was scared of that thing sitting over there. But I wanted to preach. And God knew it. And I'm glad he was merciful to me. I'm glad he was merciful to me. And led me on and on. But I just didn't think I could do it. So I had a football scholarship, went to play football down in Mississippi and played in the Sun Bowl January 1st, 1953 at Southern Mississippi. During the spring football practice in spring of 1953, a long time ago, 58 years ago, during football practice at midnight in the athletic dormitory, I woke up with a call of God on my heart. I'd been struggling with it for 4 long years. And I went out on the college golf course, and at midnight, I got down on my knees, and I said, "Lord, the best I know how, I believe you're calling me to preach. And if I make the biggest flop that ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach. And so I left the football field, never to return. And for 58 years, I've been in the greatest business in the world, preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you might not think I can preach tonight. You ought to have heard me when I first started trying to preach. But you know what? I found out that the Lord can help every one of us if we just, and He's been using me just a little bit for His glory. And He can help you. You'll seek His face, get in the Word of God, and be called of God. God can use you. It all started, I got down on my knees and said, Lord, if I make a flop of myself, I'm going to start preaching. And you know what? That was just what the Lord's waiting on me to say. And He started using me a little bit for His glory. So as we come to the close of this service tonight, I would like for all of you graduates that to come and get down on your knees in the front here and say, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go out in life, the place you want me to go. But Lord, I'll go if you will go with me. And tell Him to fill you this Spirit. And ask for His sweet presence to go with you as you go out to serve Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's sing, All to Jesus I Surrender.
86.
All to Him I freely give. Let's stand and sing. And you graduates, if you come, why don't you come? And the Lord met me at the place of surrender to His will for my life. Come and ask Him for His presence, His will. Be done. Whatever the cost, be willing to pay it. God, I'll guarantee you, God, somebody else feel led to come and tell the Lord that tonight. You can slip down here, but I wanted these graduates. Let's sing. Pour your heart out to God.